announcement that I had my wife write up. Brother Pete, my favorite son-in-law, is doing this through this group. He is training corporations and businesses and other people about safety. He works in a federal detention center in Beaumont, Texas, and he said because of his experience, because of other training he has had, he's able to train other people, corporations and businesses, about safety and things like that. So if you're interested, copy this information down before I erase it and check it out. It might be worth it. It might be good information for you to have. Safety issues, okay? And there's other professionals that are going to be speaking, but we found this out from Emily's Facebook page. You folks are on Facebook a lot? Well, sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it's very time consuming, but it's a tool. It's like a tool in the toolbox. All right, now the subject matter for today, can I erase this now?
All right. You can always get more information by asking my wife.
The subject matter for today, as advertised last week, is about God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. Now, many of you here are aware of the truth about God's Holy Spirit. And I will tell you today some of the same things you should know. But let me begin by saying that God's Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. All right, the top, of course, is the Father. And this is just a short review. Number two is the Son. And then you have number three, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is fundamental, this is basic. And there is one God, but he is expressed in three persons in the Bible. So we say that there is the Holy Trinity, there is the Godhead, that's the Bible word Godhead. The word Trinity is not there, but the word Godhead is there. And so we have the Father, number one. Always number one, yes?
Amen.
Always number one. Always number one. You have the Son, always number two. Now, in our thinking, number one is the best. That's in our human thinking, in our sports thinking. The famous athlete years ago, decades ago, did this. And ever since that time he did that, everybody, when they win, they do that. That means number one. Number one is God the Father. Number two is God the Son. God the Son is not lesser because he's number two. And worst of all, the Spirit is number three. Well, if you come in number three, you're not remembered the next day. If you're number two, you are a loser. You got to be number one. That's human thinking. But in the Bible, there's no such thing as the best, the lesser, and the really lesser. It's not like that at all. Look at the drawing here. All right, if this is 10 inches, then this is 10 inches, and this is 10 inches. It has to be to make the triangle. It can't be 8, 5, 10. It's got to be all the same. What you learn in that simple little illustration is that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father, equal to the Son in his power, in his deity. So the Holy Spirit, remember, is also God as much as the Son is, as much as the Father is. So he's not a lesser God or a littler God just because he's number three. Do you understand this?
Amen.
Okay, good. So I don't want to waste time on that because you should understand that. And so Matthew chapter 28. I just want to give a Bible verse, a proof text that there is three persons by these names. Matthew 28:19. Okay. Now, if you can, follow carefully with what I read, verse number 19. This is the Lord telling the disciples, we say the church, to go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, number one, Father, up on the board, Father, and of the Son, number two, and of the Holy Ghost. So you have this, what you call the Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Always in that way. Never reversed, never mixed. It's always Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Okay? So this is the divine order, and it's just the way it is. Now, anyone can pick a fight about the Trinitarian formula, but why? Why do that? because some people just are happy when they pick fight with things. They're not happy unless they're arguing with something or someone. That's just the way some people are. Any Bible verse that's so clear to you could be so fuzzy to someone else because they read into it and see something that's not there, or their mind is so by what they have read or learned and so on. And so they look at something very plain as something very complicated. It is not that complicated. It's just a matter of fact that we accept and believe. Right? Yes? Yes? Okay, good. Now, number two, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, as you may guess, is eternal. He is eternal. He always existed. And the verse we use is Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. Hebrews 9, 14. I really need to read up from verse 11 to work my way up to verse 14. So let me read from verse 11 up through the verse that we're going to see. And the point of this scripture is to say that the Holy Spirit always existed. Verse 11 tells us, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal, that's the word I wrote, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, and so on. So in this reference, it's about Jesus Christ, the really sacrificial lamb, the blood that was shed on the mercy seat and so on, the real one. All that you had in the tabernacle was a figure of the real. And so Jesus Christ shed blood was the real. And then he sprinkled that on the mercy seat in heaven through the eternal Spirit. So you want to learn that the Holy Spirit is not, he didn't just exist because the Father sent him or John or Jesus sent him. No. He was always around as much as God was always around. So just remember that basic truth. The eternal Spirit. Not a spirit that came to be, but as much eternal as the Father is eternal. The eternal Spirit. All right? And also, the Holy Spirit, besides being eternal, is all-knowing. Omni means all. Omni science. Omniscient is all-knowing. I think you already know this, but he knows all things. But on that, let me change that word. I really meant to say present. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. Omnipresent because he is a spirit, like the Father is a spirit. And let's look at one reference as we move along quickly here. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. God's Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, of the Holy Trinity. He's a spiritual being like God is, and he always existed, did not come into existence like angels were created. He always was, and he is, by the nature of being the Holy Spirit, he is omnipresent. Psalm 139. This is a good chapter. And this chapter tells us in verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, I'm going to hide in the darkness. Even the night shall be light about me. To God, you cannot hide in the darkness. It's like daytime. It's like the noonday. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now, some of this might seem to be exaggeration, because he says, if I'm over here in Timbuktu, you're there. If I go to the lowest hell, you'll be there. Well, is God in the lowest hell? Is the Holy Spirit in the lowest hell? Not literally, but he's expressing, he's everywhere. Have you ever said something to express something like that by exaggeration? I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. I don't think so. If I was so hungry I could eat a horse, maybe I'm not so hungry. You ever see this program of people surviving the wilderness? They have some around, and it's kind of like fake, because there's a camera following this guy all around. Recently, I saw a little bit. I'm not that much about family in the Arctic or the North, way up in North in Canada somewhere. And there's 10 of them, and they're dropped off by helicopter. They're left to be on their own, supposedly, but they're not on their own because it's cameraman following them. Right? And this guy's saying, "Oh, you know, if I don't find shelter soon, I'm going to freeze to death." I don't think so. Yeah, and there's bears, and there's wolves, and there's all these kind of creatures. And I'm thinking, really, if that is true, you wouldn't be out there without a weapon. You wouldn't be out there just with you and the cameraman. I don't think so. I think there's somebody behind the scenes that we don't see that's going to keep you safe. And so all of these things, they talk about surviving and going, and I'm all alone. With the Holy Spirit, you're really not alone, because he's everywhere.
Amen.
Isn't that kind of funny?
Amen.
It's actually kind of good, not funny, because in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world, and Lord with you always. How is he with us always? How can the Lord be with us everywhere we are on this globe? It's because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent.
Amen.
Because he's in you. So it's everywhere in that sense. Literally in you. Somehow hard to understand, but true. So he's everywhere, wherever you are, whatever time of the day. So this is kind of interesting, because he does say on this clock, 3, 6, 9, 12. Okay, whatever time of the day, he's there. Which is practically, as it falls out, no matter where you are, location-wise, no matter what time of the day it is, time-wise, he is with you. So he emphasizes darkness. He says, this, you cannot, look, watch this. Especially you kids might like this. Watch this. Can you see me? No, you cannot see me, because something's blocking your vision. It's called a pulsar. You can't see it. I mean, you see it, you can't see me.
I can see your back.
You can see my back? Really? Now you can see me, because I have exposed. There's nothing blocking. With God, wherever you are, dark, night, location-wise, he sees you. Now that can be very comforting or very convicting. Depends. But if you are a Christian, you want to live for the Lord, aren't you glad to know that he can see you wherever you are? He's with you wherever you are. Lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world, end of your life too. So that's a good thing to know. He is omnipresent wherever you are. Now, I want to emphasize at this point, and this is a big part of the lesson for today, that the Holy Spirit, although he is God, he is deity, he is a person. He's a person. As opposed to just being a force or a power. Do you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses, I mentioned them a lot in the last 2 weeks because it is relevant when it comes to teaching something. They oppose this, they go against it, so I gotta say it. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe that he is a person. They believe, let me quote to you, the Holy Spirit is God's power in action, his active force. So they say he is an active force. An active force, as opposed to a non-active force. So he's doing something as an active force. So it's in this world, he's doing things actively, but he is a force. Now, what is another force? Electricity is a force. Does electricity have any kind of feeling, personality? Not at all. Star Wars, or was it? Yeah. May the Force be with you. What is that all about, the Force be with you? What is the Force? Now, some people have spiritualized the force to make it, you know, something Christian. And people can always, I suppose, do that, twist something and make it Christian, have a Christian tone to it. But when they talk about the force be with you, I don't know what that is. Active force. I don't know what an active force is. What is the Aloha Spirit? Can you identify the Aloha Spirit? Can you put a finger on the Aloha Spirit? Can you say that the Aloha Spirit has emotion, feeling? The Aloha Spirit may be an attitude. An attitude, the Aloha attitude. Now, different parts of the world have different attitudes. They treat people differently because of their culture and because of how they are. They just treat you in a particular way. In Hawaii, there's this thing that is supposedly very, very noble. It's the Aloha Spirit. Well, all that means is that people are more friendly than in the North. The Aloha Spirit is better than Yankee Spirit. It really is. If you go up to Washington, D.C. as a tourist, or if you work there, you find out that there's no Aloha Spirit in Washington, D.C. Everything is just get the job done, and you don't get it done, you're fired, and everything is rough and gruff, and there's no friendliness that appears on the work front. There's no Aloha Spirit there. But Hawaii has this thing called the Aloha Spirit. Well, but it's not a real thing. It's just an attitude. Now, the Holy Spirit is a real person. So we say the Godhead is made up of three personalities. And we shall soon see that there's good reason for us to believe that the Holy Spirit is a person and not just an active force. Now, to be sure, the Holy Spirit is active in the world, but he's not a force. You ever work with pneumatic tools? It can do a lot of good. But it's a force. It's not alive. It's inanimate. It doesn't have feelings. Doesn't have the things that make up someone with a personality. All right, let's look at a couple of things here. And they'll be so obvious to us, it won't even require commentary. John chapter 14. John 14. John 14 is a great passage to see that the Holy Spirit is a person. And for you young ones who are learning English grammar, you might find this very interesting because it tells us, it gives us a real clue that he is a person. All right. John chapter 14 and come down to verse number 16. John 14, 16. One of the most important verses or scriptures in the New Testament and in the Gospels about the Holy Spirit being a person. You may not need anything else to prove that he is a person from these verses. It requires to understand a little bit about English grammar, and it requires common sense. If you have common sense, you're going to go pretty far. If you know some grammar, you're going to go way more far. Now watch verse number 16. Watch carefully. I want you to look at every word carefully. And I want you to do this for me today for the sake of teaching. When I pause, say the word next when I pause, okay? Let's do this for a little bit, a little exercise class. We're all in the third grade now. Enjoy it while you can. Verse number 16, when I pause, say the next word together out loud. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another
comforter
that
he
may abide with you forever. 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth
him
not, neither knoweth
him.
But ye know
him,
for
he
dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I ye shall also. Verse 20, let's continue. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now 22 is about Judas. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will
keep
my command, my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name,
He
shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, you see from these verses, very simply, very plainly, that he is called, the Holy Spirit is called a he. Now, what is that in English grammar? When you call someone, or you refer to someone as a he, him, she, her, what is that called? Okay,
pronoun.
The word is a pronoun, isn't it? Okay, pronoun.
He, him.
Now, if you say it, that's not a pronoun, a personal pronoun. This is a personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit is always called, referred to as in a personal pronoun, he or him. Oh, by the way, it's also masculine. Masculine. He's never referred to by Jesus as when she comes. Sorry, ladies. You're not that special. When she comes, she shall guide you. No, it's a he. So let me emphasize that he is referred to in the masculine, not the feminine. Feminine. So anyone that may want to be equal with men and make God equal to them, make God female, you know, we're just simply being silly and foolish and wanting to impose upon the Bible and upon God something that he is not. She is always he. All right, now, one more reference, John chapter 16. You're close, John 16, and come to verse number 7. 16, 7. We'll do the same exercise, John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. For if I depart, I will send him. I will send him unto you. I will send him unto you. Well, since we're on a roll, let's go to verse number 13. 16, 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come,
he
will guide you into all truth. For
he
shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he give you an answer, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall speak, and
he
will show you things to come. Verse 14.
He
shall glorify me, for
he
shall not receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Well, those are good verses. Now look at verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that
he
shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Do you have any doubt that he is a he? No, of course not. That's why we teach that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an active force. Pretty serious to attribute to someone who is a person to someone who is inanimate, like a rock. So he's a person because he's a person, because the person pronouns tell us that he is a person. There's no question about this at all. You ought to just say, okay, so it is. Now, also, besides him being a person, and because he is a person, I should say, because he's a person, he has a will. He will express his personality by the way he responds and the way he feels. And so the Holy Spirit has a will. He can decide and he can discern and he can choose things. He can pick one over another. He can give one this, he can give another that. He can say no to you, he can say yes to me, like that. He has a will. Did you know that he has a will? I don't mean a will that, okay, you get the inheritance, the will says so. Not like that. But he has the ability to determine. Okay? He has a will. Now, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a little long passage, but not that long. And since we're studying the Bible, let's study this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. The chapter is about spiritual gifts. Do you know where they came from? Do you know who dispensed the spiritual gifts throughout the history of the church? Now, we'll read some verses in here that gives you the idea that all the spiritual gifts are for today, but let me just preface you or prep you to know that when we look at some of these gifts here, you remember that some of the gifts were given for the early formation of the church. They were given as the foundation of the church. And then after the foundation is laid, you don't need to have these gifts in operation because they have already been founded and they've already been laid, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Amen. So I want to emphasize to you that as we look at this list, don't think that, okay, do I have this gift? Do I have this gift? Do I have this gift? I want this one. I want this. I want this one. Let's look at the list and you see what I mean by what I said. Now, it's about spiritual gifts, verse number one, but come to verse number four. Verse number four. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Now, what does diversity mean? Everybody wants to be diverse. Let's have a little more diversity on the sports team. Let's have a little bit more of this kind of people on the sports team because it's not diverse enough. When we say diversity, what do we mean?
It means difference.
Having something that's not the same, different. Let's have variety. Don't you like variety on your pizza? You can't just have cheese. You gotta have variety. Onions and pepperoni for sure, and mushrooms. When you have ice cream, you're gonna have different varieties of ice cream. You just can't have vanilla and chocolate. You gotta have something else. You gotta have peanuts and nuts and walnuts and everything else, coffee, beans. Variety. You gotta have variety in your meal. You just can't eat rice every day. You gotta have something with your rice, and then you gotta have something different every time with your rice. You just can't eat rice and spam. Spam and rice. You gotta have spam, rice, and eggs. And then you gotta have something else besides that Portuguese salt. You gotta have variety. So variety is just good. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives variety in the dispensing of gifts, spiritual gifts. Now watch carefully, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Spirit of God gives gifts to different people so that people can benefit from those gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit. We see the Spirit working because He gives different people different abilities, different gifts to use for the benefit for people, for the profit of them. Verse 8. And by the way, if you have a gift and you don't use it, it'd be almost like someone who has a tool that he never uses. Now, I have a lot of brushes at home. I got bottles, jars, all different kinds of brushes. I got short brushes. I got tall brushes. I got bristles. I got flats. I got bright. You know brushes are called flats and brights? The flats are the flatheads, and the brights are the ones that smile. Actually, there's a difference. Let me just tell you this. There's a difference about these brushes. Some brushes have short bristles, and other brushes have longer bristles. Okay, so they're flats and brights. There's different needs for different kind of brushes. And then you have those that are round. You have rounds like that. They're not round, but they're round. They make sharp lines. Then you have liner brushes. They look like this. They're like that. They have a long brush. It's to draw long straight lines or like that. You know, there's different kinds of brushes. If you have different brushes at your disposal, but you never use them, what good are they? You got a big canvas you're gonna cover with paint? Canvas that size, you're gonna paint. You don't use a round brush. You don't use a liner brush. It's gonna take you all year to cover that with paint. You get a big brush. There's inch brushes, you use paint brushes, 4-inch brushes, different tools for different purposes. And if God has given you a tool or tools and you don't use it, what good is it? Now, some people have a gift of gab. Some people have a gift of, they just are able to communicate. Some people have a gift of being quiet. And that's also good. Some people can do different, whatever we can do. If God gave it to us, it is for us to profit withal. Now, look at this. Verse number 8. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing, by the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, do you see why I prefaced the remarks to these scriptures by saying some of these things are not operational, but people want them? And people do want them. People do want verse number They want verse number 9. They want verse number 10. Prominently, they want the tongues of verse 10. And they want the prophecy of verse 10. They want that because those are dramatic sign gifts. And people today, in this time, in 2020, they want that. They've wanted since the 20th century. And even before that, probably, but prominently by the 20th century. They wanted these sign gifts because they say, it's in the Bible. It's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore, it's for me. Well, there's something we need to remember, that there is an order to how God works in the Bible, and he has transitioned from the foundation to the building of the church by the word of God. So there's a big change over here. So just because you see something, it doesn't mean it's for you to grab. You come to my house, you look at those brushes, you say, wow, look at all the brushes, I'm going to take one. I'll cut your wrist off. My brushes cost $2 a piece. Some of them as much as $1.50. And you take my brush and I'm gonna spank you. I got a bunch of paints in my little paint, you know, but if you take anyone without my permission, you're a thief. Now you can't take what's not yours. You cannot take what's not yours. It's not for you. There's good reason for this, what I'm saying. It's not for you, but it sure seems like, now what group of people wants to get, oh man, what group of people wants to get these gifts? You know who they are? People that believe that all the Bible is for them. People that believe that every verse is for them. And they gravitate to these verses like a magnet attracts nails. You see? They just gravitate toward certain things of the Bible. They gravitate toward the spectacular, the demonstrative, the wow, those kind. That's what they gravitate to. And the fact is, we're working down to verse number 11. I have an explanation for what I just said, and I have more detail about that. But verse 11 says, this is the point of this passage. All of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the fact is, all of these gifts that he gave at one time, and the gifts he gives in this time, it is according to as he will, as he decides, as he chooses, as he seems fit to give and to give and to give or to not give. It's up to him. It's his discretion. It is at his will. And so, you know what time it is? It is already 10:70. I can't believe this. I don't think it went overtime. You know what? I got to stop for now, but I'm continuing. I'll make a note right over here. But I'll say this. No, I can't. I got to stop. Let me continue next time in a few minutes. Stick around because this is connected to this, and you're going to be surprised at what I have experienced by people who want those certain kind of gifts. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we're going to end for this time. We'll come back at 10:45. Okay?
Okay. The little copy I gave you,
yeah.
It was sent to me by the